Would you please stand with me? I'd like to dismiss our children to Children's Church at this time. I'd like to turn your attention to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I want to address a problem in the church tonight. It's a drinking problem. And I want to put an end to it right now. I want to use as much scripture as I can. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, starting in verse number 17, it says, "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." You see, if you're filled with the Spirit, there's a natural progression that says, you know, all during the day, you're talking to God, you're singing to God, you're making melody within your heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So if you're filled with the Spirit, there is never a problem in submitting yourself to somebody else. You know what? I prefer you over me. There is no antagonistic spirit. There's a Spirit of God that just says, you know what? I just love everybody, you know? I've said this before, but the first Bible study that I ever taught, I taught a lady in the mortgage department of a bank that I was working at, and she came into the church, was filled with the Holy Ghost during the offering, which was unusual. The next day, she, this was a Thursday, came into my office, which was on the lower level, and she started telling everybody about this experience that she had. In fact, just 3 weeks before that, I was inviting her to a Bible study, and she said to me, "You know what, if I came to your church, would I become like you?" You know, like, oh. And so she's down there, and she's telling everybody about the Holy Ghost, and her boss comes down, the vice president of the mortgage department comes down and says, "Chris, what are you doing down here?" And she said, "Mike, I really love you." You know, well, why? Because she's now filled with the Spirit, and it changes your attitude towards people, submitting yourself to everybody. And then if you go to the book of Acts, that's right after the Gospels. 2nd chapter, verse number 12. 120 are filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room, and verse number 12, it says, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine." I wonder why they asked that. You know, were they acting a little strange? "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And so, listen, if we're going to have an experience, the experience needs to be supported by Scripture, and we have an experience that is supported by Scripture. "These signs shall follow them that believe, they shall speak with new tongues." Amen. Would you pray with me that God would have his way in this teaching, in this preaching tonight? Jesus, we ask, Lord, we thank you, God, for being in this place all day today. God, the things that you've accomplished, only heaven knows. There's angels in this place, and we ask, God, that you dispatch them to do your will in this place. Help us not to limit what you can do. We'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as most of you know, I was not raised in the church, so I have tasted alcohol. I never really liked it. I was a drinker on a social level, but I was never a drunk. I didn't have any problems in giving it up. In fact, after I was filled with the Holy Ghost, there wasn't a problem pouring everything that I had in the house. I never drank unless somebody came over, and it was sort of a courtesy thing. Some of you were in the world before you came into the church, and you had experienced some of those things, and I wish I had never. And you young people, if you've never experienced that, or you've been raised in the church, don't ever get to the place where you have a curiosity to try any of that junk, because all it'll do is put you in bondage. The prophet Joel said it would happen. People would get drunk in the church. That's what he said. You may not understand my logic, but my main goal in every church service is to get as many people intoxicated as I possibly can. I'd love to see people staggering out of this place, because you need to get under the presence of God and be filled with the Spirit every time you have an opportunity to come into this place. It's biblical, and it happened in the first real church service, and we aren't as drunk as we should be. Now, the world knows how to get drunk. They don't fool around with just sipping. Man, I'll tell you what, everything that people do today involves some kind of form of alcohol. Social events involve drinking of some kind or another, most of the time with the intention of getting inebriated to take themselves out of the reality of their problems or the real world. And so if they can't cope with some things, they try to get to a place where they're not thinking about it, to place themselves in a place where they can drown their sorrows and problems. Why do we think they call it happy hour? You know, they get a little happy, and so I'm going to promote our own happy hour, and that's right now. Amen. We're going to just get as happy as we possibly can. I declare that the prophet Joel really opened the door for each of us, a license, if you will, in order to drink of the Spirit, and the drinks are on the house, according to God. Everything is free. You just come on and get as much as you want and leave whenever you want, because we don't ever close. We need to be as drunk as Joel declared we could be, as drunk as those people were on the day of Pentecost. Now, for those who have never been around alcohol, first of all, please, please, don't ever get started. Don't taste and see, because there are too many people who have just, well, just try it. See, I want to have that experience. There are some experiences you just never, ever want to have. And if God delivered you from alcohol, well, you ought to praise God. You ought to praise God. I've been around too many people who have had such a difficulty, destroyed lives, destroyed families, gotten them out of jobs. It has destroyed so many families, and so I don't mean to make light of it or a joke about it. This is a real problem. There isn't a person in here who hasn't been affected by it at one place or another. God doesn't have a 12-step program. He's just got one-step program. Just take one step towards the altar, and God can deliver you right now. He can deliver you alcohol or any other habit right now. He doesn't tease us like a nicotine patch or, just try to get a buddy to help you. I've worked with people who have asked me to talk softer because they had pounding headaches from the weekend. You know, I've got this hangover, and they've gone from ecstasy to agony, from the thrill to a chill, from funny to depressed, and it's called a hangover. I saw a bumper sticker that said, how to avoid a hangover, just stay drunk. You know, they thought it was funny, I guess, but it's not an option for them. Now, we can have a great Sunday night service, feel the presence of God and stagger under His power. Well, listen to me. By Wednesday, we can be walking in here with hangovers. Why? Because some just didn't keep drinking for from Sunday to Wednesday, and they need to keep drinking from Sunday to Wednesday. There's nothing that bothers a sober person more than a drunk. You know? Isn't it nice to have somebody who just isn't in the right mind or capacity, and they're bumping into you and saying things, and they're loud, and they're crying, or they're doing something. Someone gets a hold of God and acts a little bit out of sort, and the sober Pentecostals are irritated. Could you keep the music down? Do you have to get as loud? Do you have to get as wild as you get? There's nothing worse than a sober Pentecostal. Amen. Nothing worse than a drunk in the world, but there's nothing worse than a sober Pentecostal. I hope us Pentecostals that we're born in an upper room where they thought they were all drunk, that we have not all become social drinkers because we got drunk one day when God filled us with the Holy Ghost, staggered around for a little while, but that's enough. I just don't indulge anymore. Perhaps just enough to make us happy, but not enough to make us holy. Just enough to call him Savior, but not enough to call him Lord. You see, we need a move of the Holy Spirit in every service, or we might crash because we are just too sober. Peter could have said in his response to them being drunk, no, we're sober. We're normal Christians. We're just like everybody else. We're just kind of we do this every once in a while. No, we don't do this every once in a while. We do this whenever we get a chance because we want to get out of the reality of this world to a place where I'm forgetting about my problems because I'm in the presence of God. We're doing it for the same reason that they do it. Amen. We're not as drunk as you suppose. Have you noticed when we go into a restaurant, the commotion that a lot of us Pentecostals cause? Don't you get tired of being stared at by people when we walk in? I get tired of being stared at when I leave my subdivision with a suit and tie on and everybody else is working in their yard or running down the street. It's like we are some kind of celebrity. Well, I guess we are, you know? They're asking, who are they? What are they on? We're laughing, but we didn't get that laughter out of a bottle. Amen. We're smiling, but we didn't take pills. Amen. We're happy, and we're not snuffing some powder. Here is what Joel suggested for better church. Pastors that can barely stand behind a pulpit, staggering under the Holy Ghost. Song people who can hardly make it up to the platform because they're under such a heavy anointing of God's Spirit. The drunk, or to be drunk, means to be overwhelmed, to be overcome by a strong feeling of emotion. Then every time we come in here, we should be overwhelmed by the strong feeling of emotion, and that really is up to us to get a hold of God to the point where now we're forgetting about the things that are going wrong in our life and concentrating on the one who is right in our life. Amen. Are you drunk yet? The upper room is open late. The devil's worst nightmare is a church under the influence of the Holy Ghost. The preacher under the influence of the Holy Ghost. The musicians under the influence of the Holy, not just going through a routine, not just doing what we did last Sunday night, but under a heavy anointing or influence, overwhelming emotional feelings. Your problem is not what you think, it's just you need another drink. You got to get to the place where you get beside yourself. Peter said there is nothing wrong with what they are doing. It's just not the way you think. People don't understand why we get so emotional in church. We just can't help ourselves. We are under a power of God that changes our personality. When we are baptized in the Holy Ghost, we are overwhelmed by the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden we get hooked. We just have a taste of God, and then all of a sudden we want another taste and another taste until finally, you know, we're habitual churchaholics. And we just got to get more and more and more. We may lose some control. I've been around enough drunks to know when they're drunk. The first test they give is the breath test, you know? I mean, if you get pulled over, what's going to happen is the first thing they'll do is take the breath test to see where your level is. Did you know who gave the first breath test? It was Jesus.
Amen.
That's right. It says in John 20 and 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." It was the breath test. When you got the Holy Ghost, it was him breathing on you that caused you to become intoxicated by his Spirit. We will have ushers at the door giving breathalyzer tests before you leave. And if you don't get a 10, we'll have you come back to the altar.
Amen.
Other factors in being drunk are the tongue and the toes. What will happen is it'll change your language and it'll change the way you walk. People start to slur their words. And they can't walk like they used to. The officer says, "Come on now, walk a straight line," and it's a clear evidence that you are inebriated if you can't walk the straight line. And when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, well, we speak different than we ever did. And after we're filled with the Holy Ghost, there's absolutely no problem walking a straight line. Glory to God. We start to walk like we have never walked before, never even thought we could. My dad, when I was a kid, took me into taverns. He didn't know any better. And he would meet some of his friends, and so he was responsible for taking care of me a lot of times. And so I find myself sitting at a table with an orange soda and candy bars and potato chips. And he didn't know any better, but I experienced what it was to see people drunk. There were extreme emotional mood swings with people who drink alcohol. Sometimes they'd cry, and sometimes they'd sing. Not very well, but they'd sing. Oftentimes, they'd just get loud, you know, they really would. But I have never seen a drunk just sit there quietly. This will preach, folks. So if you're really inebriated under the Holy Ghost, sometimes you'll cry, sometimes you'll sing, sometimes you'll get a little loud. But I'll tell you one thing you won't do if you're under the influence of the Holy Ghost is, wow, they're a little crazy tonight, aren't they? You're pretty miserable if everybody in the room is drunk, but you're not. Folks, Sunday is our happy hour. Somebody ought to fall out of their pew because they can't control themselves. We can learn some things from a drunk. Good times make them drink to celebrate. And bad times make them drink in order to escape, you know. I'll tell you what, in good times, we ought to get a hold of God. And in bad times, we ought to get a hold of God. We've got a reason for the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, all of the talking about drinking has just made me a little thirsty. You know, I just need a little. Yeah. That reminds me of a story. An old guy goes into a bar and orders a drink. Now, this is PG, so don't worry about it. I haven't lost my mind entirely. And he drank it and looked in his coat pocket like this, and then he ordered another drink, and he drank it, and he looked in his coat pocket like this, and he ordered another drink and looked in his coat pocket like this. And finally, the bartender said, you know, I've seen a lot of strange things in this bar by a lot of people who have drunk a lot of alcohol, but what in the world are you doing? And the drunk said, Mr. Bartender, I'll tell you, in my coat pocket, I have a picture of my wife, and she is the ugliest woman in the world. And I just keep drinking until she starts to look good, and then I go home. You might think there are some ugly things in the church. You might think that holiness is ugly. You might think that paying tithes is ugly, or singing or dancing in the spirit is ugly. But all you need is another drink, and all of a sudden, they become beautiful to you. One of the things I remember most about drunks is drunks love everybody, you know? You know, if you get enough alcohol in you, you know, come here, I really love you, you know? They can't stand the person before they drink, but then all of a sudden, I really love you. You're such a wonderful person. And there may be some people that you just, you know, they rub you the wrong way. But if you get under the spout where the Holy Ghost comes out, I really love you. It changes you. Glory to God. Sober can be the most frightening thing in a Pentecostal church. Glory to God. Everybody here needs a drink. Amen. And everybody ought to share what they have. Once those people come out of the upper room, they turn the world upside down. Why? Because you can't shut up a drunk. Will you just be quiet? No, I just want to talk a little longer, you know. The guy is so shy, but once he gets a couple of drinks in him, well, he's a motor mouth. You know, there are a bunch of people here who are so shy and insensitive, but when they have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost at the altar, all of a sudden the next day, they got to tell somebody about what happened. Tell them a little bit about your hangover. So have you been on the wagon? Have you just been sober too long? Are some things irritating you that never irritated you before? Have you gotten to the place where the music is too loud, the people are too boisterous, you know, the pastor is just too ugly? When the Word of God bothers you, maybe it's because you're just too sober. Nothing affected us. Nothing bothered us. Think about it. When you came into the church and God filled you with the Holy Ghost, everybody in the entire church was perfect. And then a year later, they're all full of imperfections. Maybe it's because you just stopped drinking. I taught a Bible study to a lady. It was probably 36 years ago. She was a next-door neighbor. And so after the seventh lesson with the plan of salvation, she decided to come and get baptized in Jesus' name. And so at the end of the service, she just didn't believe that she'd ever be filled with the Holy Ghost. So at the end of the service, she just knelt out at the side of her pew and just wanted to thank God before she got baptized. Well, by the time she got one hand up, God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And I had no idea, but this lady was very prejudiced, and there was a lady who came up to her of a different persuasion, and her first sight was this lady, and immediately she wrapped her arms around her because God changed her. God completely changed her perspective. Thank God. But you know what? If we don't have a constant flowing of the Holy Ghost, we are not cisterns. We need to be a river that is flowing with God's Spirit, a refreshing that happens within us over and over again, so the joy of the Lord can be our strength. Glory to God. Be a little intoxicated by the Spirit of God. Please get off the wagon. Maybe sober too long. When was the last time you really became drunk in the Spirit? Your problem is not what you think. You just need another drink. Amen. You just need another dose of the Holy Ghost, which changes your perspective entirely. And we can continue to have that upper room experience because God said in the end time, He is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. This is not the only place where you can get refilled, but you can get refilled wherever you are. You can have the joy of the Lord and that same experience wherever you are at any time in the middle of the night. Get depressed, start worshiping God, and you're going to find that it's going to relieve you of your situation. People will get up in the middle of the night and go for a bottle. People will get up in the middle of the night and go for some pills. People will try to get out of the reality of life their way, but we get out of the reality of life our way. Amen. And all of a sudden, the worries are gone, and there's a peace that comes over you that passes all understanding. And I'm just so grateful. I don't need a bottle in my hand. All I need to do is raise my hands and start worshiping God wherever I am. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? I hope that nobody takes this as a well, I don't want to make fun of anything that has destroyed so many lives over the years. Of a man who's a recovering alcoholic in my Bible study, and since he's been there, he hasn't had any desire for alcohol at all. Not filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know, the Bible says that He'll put a new heart within us and put a new spirit within us and cause us to walk in His statutes. I need a refreshing of that spirit over and over again. I don't mean this in a bad way, but I am addicted to His presence, to His Spirit. I want it more and more every day. I got to get my fix, folks. The altar's open. Would you come?